going on down there?
Hello, everybody. Welcome to WTF and BotCon 2K11. This is Vangelis, and it is Friday, June 3rd, and we are about 2 minutes away from the casino night. About 45 minutes away. That was close. The casino night. Very interesting day today. And we are also joined by superstar special guest guy host being passed the mic. Hello.
Oh, hi. Are you talking to me?
Yes.
I have a microphone.
Hello, Derek J. Wyatt.
Does this sound okay? Or is it better or like his?
It does make it hit the ceiling, but you'll be loud.
Okay.
So, all right, I can talk really clearly and enunciate.
Really loud over here.
I'm talking really close. Like,
what are we doing? Are we doing this, a show or something?
Wait, we are.
Why am I mumbling?
Seth told you. I don't know.
Hi.
So I just want to mention the first thing I noticed today about Derek Wyatt was he was wandering the floors and he had yet another piece of one of a kind, cool looking swag made for him and given to him.
Getting a call from Eric Cibanella. What should I do?
Answer it.
Hello.
Hello.
Can I? I'm recording a podcast right now.
He's recording a podcast right now.
I'm just telling the podcast that I'm talking to you.
Telling the podcast he's talking to us. Laughter.
Are you going to go to the casino night thing?
I hope so.
So what's that? Is that like in an hour or something?
About 45 minutes.
About 45 minutes.
About 45 minutes plus two? Okay, yeah, sure. I'll meet you down at the casino thing then.
I'll meet you down at the casino.
Is that cool? Okay.
I think that's pretty cool.
All right, see ya.
Bye.
Bye. That was, sorry about that. I had a call from my very close personal friend, Eric J. Cibaneller, you know, Hasbro superstar.
And designer extra, whoa.
And then my iPod started playing.
We so professional here.
I'm so good with technology.
So you are professional. So I saw you had this one-of-a-kind plushy animated Motor Master.
Yes.
And it looks real pretty, and I keep thinking that the box on the head's going to open to reveal a Derek Wyatt head.
It could. Or it's a napkin dispenser, either way.
That'd be pretty cool, too. Yeah. So where'd you get this from?
I got it from a girl who goes by... she keeps changing her screen names. She's Musha on Twitter. And her name is Shirley, and she's made my other, she made the plush Derek, and she made me a Swindle, and she made me a Grandis.
Oh, right.
And she's awesome. And it's fantastic. It's clearly a work of genius. I mean, it's a fantastic plush.
It's very rigid. Someone should do a video review of it.
Yes. Wouldn't that be awesome? Oh, we did that.
That's right.
Oh, okay.
The only other thing I wanted to bring up about Derek while I got you on mic is I got in an autograph line, and I finished the autograph line, and I went around the back to get to the dealer room, and I walked by, and I saw you and Marty Eisenberg were still standing there, and then I paused, and I realized Marty had pulled up a chair.
Somebody got a chair for Marty, yeah.
And you guys had formed, like, pirate lineups next to the real autograph lineup.
It
wasn't like they were next to it parallel, they actually ran crisscross through it.
Yeah, I know.
So you guys were illegally, entirely disrupting entire system there.
That's right.
That was quite awesome. I loved it.
The animated guys, you know, we do everything renegade style.
Yeah, they just popped up.
Going against the grain.
It's like you didn't walk to an empty part of the room to start your autograph line. They walked right up next to the autograph line, sat down, and went, line starts here. And then that line runs right through the reel.
And the best part is there's no one on site, staff or otherwise, is going to tell you no.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't like we really set out to do that. It was like we... Marty got stopped, and then I got stopped,
yeah.
Sort of in the same place, and people started, and like, as people saw us signing stuff, more people came up to us, and then we were pretty soon, there was a line,
was
or
really
two
funny.
Lines, or three lines, or something.
You guys got, I saw you guys get stopped, and it's like, they got stopped by one person, someone next to that person said, oh, hey, what's up? And then while you were talking to someone, a guy just leaned up and was like, you Derek, what?
And then
suddenly all these heads turn.
Was it a caveman? Star Wars! I make fire!
Well, he had a stone print pattern on his tie. I don't know. He showed up in a vehicle where he was pushing with his feet.
Anyway, that was my Derek Wyatt experiences for the day. But let's also go around and hear from everyone else.
About their Derek White experiences for the day.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Seth's Derek White experiences, he got his laser beak back from you.
Oh.
About 2 seconds ago.
So, are we just doing the day, or?
I was thinking we could just pass around, drop a point about the day here and there.
Well, you and I, we ended our ordeal with our wristbands of shame this morning.
That's right, we did.
And the crazy irony is we ended up spending less time in line because of it.
About 10 minutes in line, I think, totally.
Yeah, I ended up being the 7th person in line, and then when the line started splitting up for the different aisles to go down, then I was the 3rd person in line.
Yeah, that ran super fast.
So I ended up getting all the exclusives. Most of them are already spoken for, and they're being passed along. I have to get in contact with that dude.
But I want one.
And, no.
I want... Oh.
They're already spoken for.
But I want one.
Well, you got your own, fool. And then I also got a Laserbeak and Starscream, because the only way to get Laserbeak was to buy Starscream from them also. And luckily, I didn't already have a Starscream. And then Rekgar and Bumblebee, because the only way to get Rekgar was also by Bumblebee. So I just ate it on that one. And so finished that line. And then are we kind of just doing a what we got this today?
Let's do an event each and then just kind of talk about halls.
Okay, then that's my big event for the day.
Alrighty.
And then, but there's some other really awesome stuff, but we probably shouldn't talk about it until it actually happens.
Yeah. Hey, Aaron, what was your thing?
My thing today was randomly running into plenty of cool people here that listen to the show. I've had one or two people go, oh, hey! And so, hey.
Hey!
Yeah.
I did tip some people off, because I had a bunch of people say that, oh, I love the show, and I was like, podcast? I'm like, yeah, and I said, well, you know, Seth and Gog Dog and Aaron and Lupus are all... Actually, I think I forgot to say Aaron a couple times. Because you don't have a funky screen name, so I'm thinking screen names like you got Seth Buzzard, Gog Dog, Lupus Convoy, and that guy. And
that's on there.
Why are you pointing with that finger?
Sorry.
Axsmith, yes, I know. I've
still made it on there.
It was my fault, I'm sorry. There's lots of podcast listeners out there? That's kind of cool.
I had two people that I think recognized voice or something, just in the middle of like over a pile of stuff in a dealer's area.
Well,
and
well, you guys are dog
and then just kind of, you know, hey, what are you and got a sideways glance from one. I was like, you, Aaron? Yeah. Oh, hey, listen to the podcast. Shook hands and then went back to fighting over loose toys.
Awesome. Gog, what happened with you today? And any podcast people, listeners, recognize your voice?
Yeah, a few, I guess. Sure. I didn't really have anything too crazy go on today.
Oh, yeah. Nice to meet you for the 5th time.
likewise, thank you.
What are your Derek White experiences for the
My Derek White experiences is me and Seth were coming back from a hamburger, and Seth said, Derek said, hey, when you guys recording? I said, now, want to join us? He said, yeah. And then here we are.
And the rest is history.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, went to the dealer room. Things are really expensive. there's nothing really I'm looking forward to grabbing here that I can't grab anywhere else. But I had fun walking around the dealer room. It was cool to see the Prime toys in the case.
I haven't looked at them yet.
Yeah,
they look good.
Yeah, they don't have very many yet. We know we'll probably get more tomorrow. But they had RC, Starscream, and Bumblebee.
How's RC looking first?
Looks pretty good, and she still manages to pull off the really small motorcycle into a really big robot. It's kind of crazy. Yeah.
And Starscream manages to pull off a really small jet into a really small robot.
Yeah,
so that was pretty cool too.
Starscream looks really good.
Yeah, he's really nice.
Yeah, I'm bummed I didn't get to see that stuff today, but I was bumming around the dealer room, and then just all of a sudden I was still talking to some people I knew, because I was going around to find faces. Middle of a conversation, I'm told like, hey, are you a vendor? I'm like, oh, right. Bye-bye. He's like ran out because it was like 5:15.
And
the only other thing that I got today... Oh, I got two more things. They were handing out the three little Creo dudes. Got mine, haven't opened them up yet, but looks pretty cool. He has a painted chest and makes it look like he has an open chest with the Matrix. So he walks around with his rifle with his Matrix compartment open. So that was cool that they were handing those out for free. And TFW... moderator X Junkie comes up to me I'm talking to him.
Shh. There's a side conversation going on. Now, Seth Buzzard is transforming Laserbeak's wings out. Yeah. I think it's pretty cool. Okay. I thought it was
pretty cool too.
I think it looks like a weird bird thing. Now back to you, Gog.
X-Junkie comes up to me and says, "Oh, Gog, I got you something." He's like, "Reach into the bag." I'm like, "Okay." I reach into the bag, and out comes a pink plush Domo. And I'm like, you bought me a pink Domo?" He's like, "Yeah, man." I'm like, "Thanks."
It almost looks like it would be a naked Domo if it wasn't like terry cloth. Ew. Like it's like the naked,
like skin.
Yeah, like naked, hairless, shaved Domo. Okay. Yeah.
I'm never gonna be able to look at it the same now. So
he needs a few spots of stubble or something.
Yeah. So I like Domo. I guess that's why he got it for me. And either way, random gifts are always awesome.
It is cool.
Yeah. I have literally have no idea why he gave this to me, but
you don't need to
it's
know.
A gift. I'll cherish it forever. So thank you, X-Junkie.
But yeah.
That's about all I got today.
I had this real interesting thing happen today where I got up and by the time I was done with the convention, I got an itchy throat. That was real tough. Quite an itchy throat. I think something's going around. Not the hypochondriac on you guys.
Commentary, Seth Brother?
I think we need to wait for a doctor's opinion before we start spreading panic about a pandemic outbreak.
What if it's bot pox?
Well, we'll find out later, but right now you're just whipping people up into a frenzy.
You know, stampedes.
Yeah, running in the street, crying.
Inoculations. I actually got something pretty cool today. I was going to show it to Seth. I kept it hidden, actually, so he couldn't see it. I don't know how much you were in the dealer room today or not, but you recognize one of these? Do you recognize this?
Oh, you got that?
Does this look familiar to you?
You found that, or you found the table that was selling those? Did you get, you got the, I'm
you.
Derek's like I'm bored. You got that dirty birdie?
Yeah, the one in the box was 200 because it was a signed box, but he had one loose out from the dozens box and it was $80, and I said, "Hey, you want 70 for that?" He's like, "Okay."
For those people who can't see, Evangelist is holding a box with legs.
Yes.
And a face. You gotta look at the face, it'll give you the willies.
See that?
Yeah, 3A.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's one guy in there with 3A stuff.
Yeah, well, on Twitter, it was pointed out, like, "Oh, Evangelist and Seth Brothers probably already know this," and then a pick.
Really?
And I had missed it. I didn't see the table.
I came across it through... I was walking around with my friend Rose, and I came across it through sheer chance, and I actually had a freak out. I was like... Like, I yeah, pointed and made a noise.
I was looking high. Like, I figured if anybody has it, they're going to be, like, up on top of a shelf. Yeah, so I totally missed it. And then I saw the picture. I'm like, that's a dirty bird. And then I like zoomed in on the picture to see the price tag, and it was like 80 or whatever. I was like, how is that even possible?
He's got so much stuff.
He's got tons more because in the picture there was a bramble.
He has a Mark II bramble loose, and every one of those boxes had a toy in it. So he had a couple loose ones and a whole bunch of box ones.
Well, that I'm going straight to that table to first thing in the morning.
It's the one with the Power Ranger convention sign. Next to it, I believe. It's right across
from
Source.
A couple people tweeted me where it was. So.
Yeah. Does he have an egg tooth?
Yep.
Yeah.
It looks like it would be like...
I think the idea behind those is those things walk through the battlefield in a childlike voice saying all kinds of things to try to calm soldiers down.
Yeah, they're supposed to speak in like a really cutesy child voice. And they're kind of... they're like support bots. Like they'd be lugging equipment or coordinating like kind of passing along information sort of a thing. And the idea is to make it look cute and friendly to calm people down sort of a thing. But they look creepy as hell. and then the way they're weathered and painted, they even look worse. They just look like nightmares.
It came with a birdie who had a pair of revolvers. So I still don't have my machete birdie, but 200 for a sign box is too much for me.
Well, like those brambles that had the two pistols, I would love one of those. The two pistol brambles are sick.
So that guy's table, that wiped me actually for most of the show because I didn't have that much money after the souvenirs, and that was $70 down. So I'm like, but I feel good because that's something I'm not going to find online.
Why don't you stop beating around the bush and get to what you really want to talk about?
Because I didn't want to be all like, "Hey, everybody, look at me!" And I went through all this trouble hiding that thing in my shirt.
We still haven't introduced everyone, though, have we?
That's true. So let's beat around the bush some more.
Continue.
Far across from us is Mr. Quinn Jester.
That works, too.
I was waving. Of course, no one can see me doing that.
I saw it.
Derek saw it, so that's, I guess, worth it.
Nicole's now waving.
Nicole's also waving.
Nicole has now waved.
Had an interesting day today, I guess. I bought a print from Mr. Josh Perez for $5. That was exciting. Rosanna print.
I've just been handed a
had another amusing experience, but I guess that ties into something that's going to be discussed later. A follow-on to one of the events. Someone... Random talk in the dealer room. Kind of also related to your...
Did they mention me? Just curious.
Yes, they definitely did. They were all talking about you, Derek Wyatt.
How great I am. I know. So awesome.
I don't know.
I'm not going to say it. According to a YouTube comment, it's... Oh, no.
No, don't say it. Hey, it's me. It's Andy again. What's up? Hey, Derek.
Hi, Andy.
How are you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm not bad.
It's very nice to see you again.
You too.
It's only been... It's been less than a year.
I know.
So...
It feels good.
Yeah.
And I will complain that it feels like my day has been stolen. Somehow being in that dealer room, time vanished instantly.
I know. It was so quick.
Walking around and it's like 5 minutes over. What? Really? Yeah. I only bought one thing. Captain Shark.
Oh, that is a good purchase, though. Excellent.
$15 as well. So
I highly approve.
Very happy.
One of my favorites.
Yeah, I'm very pleased, and I don't really have any other experiences but you yesterday flogging Amy's shirt.
Oh, that's right, in the street, yeah,
in the road, waving at cars as they drive by.
Right, the Lady Wreck made Wreck and Roll shirts, and I stood out in the street.
I bought mine right after your.
That's right, I bought one, and then I went on the street and was saying, "Hey, t-shirts, $20."
And of course, you just heard the voice of somebody else, I suppose. Who are you?
A true
I'm
goddess.
Nicole, a.k.a. Hailstorm. I'm here because Derek loves me. It's true.
It is true.
Go ahead, tell him.
All right, it's true.
See? No one believes me when I say that.
Laserbeak looks really muppety.
And Laserbeak is nodding his head at me. Hi, Laserbeak. Did you have fun today? Oh, you did? Oh, that's good. Are you excited for tonight? Laserbeak excited for tonight.
You know what he looks like too? His head kind of looks like that when Ren from Ren and Stimpy was a baby and looked like a baby bird.
Yeah.
Where his eyes aren't open. Kind of looks like that.
He's doing the chicken dance.
One of the weird things with Laserbeak is when you put him into vehicle mode, I mean, basically you just tuck the legs up and fold the wings and his tail. And then the piece that comes up to cover his head has a face painted on it. So it's just kind of weird that he would have a face painted on the thing that covers his face. It's cool, though.
He has the head of a baby chicken.
And a face.
Yeah, his face cover.
Undulating the neck.
Undulating the neck.
He's undulating the neck.
Experience is mech tech.
Oh, I thought that was a nose hair
that
trimmer.
Sounds like that sounds like the tagline of the packaging. Experience his mech tech.
How do I use this? What does this do?
You stick them into each other.
All right. I did it wrong.
Yeah, you screwed up the gears. Let it spin.
Let it spin.
That's not how you mech tech.
Mech tech fail.
I thought you were a professional.
I thought you were a professional.
And here, radio personality evangelist.
Yes, yeah, this up is, what, this is what happens when he gets downgraded to radio personality evangelist.
What are you talking about? Not radio personality evangelist.
That's how you were introduced.
I thought you were a mech technician.
All right, since evangelist doesn't want to say, let me tell it from my point of view, because that's more interesting.
Actually, I don't know your
My point of view is we're all eating breakfast. Me,
I wasn't
Seth,
there.
Well, me, Seth, a few others. Aaron, I think, was there. No, I called you because you were going back to the room. But I was sitting at the table. I get a call from Evangelist on my phone. He goes, "Hey, I know something that might want to make you attend the Stunticon script reading today."
Wait, other than me being there?
Well, we were gonna. We, yeah, we actually didn't. I was planning on being there anyway, but
Evangelist said, you guys are certainly not going to want to miss it. So we go in early for the about halfway through the film festival, because usually the way it works at BotCon is, especially if you want to be at the next panel, you come at least for the one before so you can get good seats. But they shuffled everybody out and made everybody leave, which is not how they normally do it, but whatever. It was an hour break in between, so... But Mr. Evangelist didn't leave with everyone. And then Mr. Brian Savage comes up and says, hey, you got to go.
I'll do the voice.
And Evangelist turns to Brian Savage and says, oh, no, I'm staying. So me and Seth is like, huh.
I was like, hey, what's up, Brian Savage? No, Brian, I'm staying.
Yeah, yo, Bri, listen up.
Brushing my hand on my collar, like, nah.
So apparently a Mr. Jack Angel, who it's kind of unfortunate because this was going to be his first convention ever.
Yeah,
and he got sick and wasn't able to make it. So apparently Mr. Evangelist got to become a last-minute sit-in and got to play several voices on the Stunicon script reading, including Breakdown, Rattletrap,
Iron Fist. The Auto Troopers.
Oh, yeah, the Auto Troopers as well.
And Grandis.
Oh, one line, right?
Hey!
Yeah.
I couldn't remember the organics.
It was Paul Lind. I should give you a voice read on that one to go, hey, or whatever. Yeah, but it was pretty good.
I kind of had an idea what I was supposed to do for the hay, but I was like, I feel like I'm doing something wrong.
And that was fine.
Yeah. So I went to get my souvenir stuff with Seth, and then I split off because I was just like, I was going to sit there and mess with my toys and talk to some people. I met Silvershot, actually, and I gave Silvershot his crankcase for $15, and we had a nice conversation. And so I was leaving, and then Pete Sinclair went by and was like, hey, Chris. I'm like, what? He's like, come with me. And I was like, oh, he heard the podcast. He's going to kick my ass.
And then he did.
And then he did. And that's the story. I'm actually not here. So he's like, hey, so you did that script reading with us before, right? I'm like, yeah. He's like, you like doing those voice things, right? I'm like, oh, it's fun. Yeah, it's a hobby. Yeah, amateur. And so he's like, well, do you want to read something? I was like, why? He's like, well, Jack Angel's sick, so we need someone to sit in for Jack Angel. I was like, I'll do it, sure. And he's like, yeah, so Jack Angel had, like, you know, four roles or so. I'm like, oh, good. Yeah, I'll do that. He's like, don't worry, we'll split them up between you guys. We'll have, you know, two for you, two for Paul Edding, because Paul Edding said he'll sit in. I was like, okay, sweet, cool. So then we go in, and then, like, while we're all sitting down up there, Paul Edding goes like, hey, what's up? I actually can't make it, because I got to go. So they're like, all right, don't worry, Chris, you got all four roles.
I'm like, well, it must have been before I got there.
Well, I ended up talking to Paul Eiding for a while outside, but I have my timelines mixed up. I was talking to him while we were waiting to get in to see the panel.
He's ditched.
And not after the panel, because I was going to be like, he deceived you because he was outside afterwards.
He ditched the panel for Seth. They were hanging out. Man. That's what really happened.
We're mostly dating now.
Oh, good. Jack Angel was sick, and no one knows if he's, like, just got a cold or if he's sick enough to not be able to make the show. We're hoping he can come back, because this is going to be his first show.
Oh. Neil Ross was pretty fantastic, wasn't he?
Hardcore.
So,
Sideswipe voice.
He just came up with this expression on his face of, like, pure... You know, he was pure concentration, and yeah, it was great. That's
the thing is, I didn't know what anyone else is doing, because whenever I do one of those things, I kind of just stare down at the script, and I don't look up. So I was kind of tunnel visioned on that.
But he was great.
Yeah, they were.
Everybody was really good.
They were all fantastic. Like, what's her name? Is it Abby Ross?
No, what is her last? It's not Collins, was it?
Collins.
Abby Collins. Why did I say Abby Ross?
Abby Collins.
Chris Collins was his original name.
Okay.
The daughter of Chris Latta.
Yeah. So I'm backstage.
That was Pete's big surprise for everybody, kind of.
Yeah, and he let her in backstage. He's like, oh, by the way, here's a big surprise. This is Chris Latta's daughter. Anyway, I'm going to go introduce you guys. And I was like, wait, what?
Yeah. And she was great. She did really cool. Minerva and like right before we started, I asked her to put a little Canadian twang in there. So
Derek was totally like Wally Burring all of us hardcore.
I get really when it's Transformers, I get really like persnickety about that stuff, and that's what I would do in the records and stuff usually.
I was actually really impressed with that because with a lot of people, especially when they're, I mean, these are also people, because you were a Transformers fan before you worked on Transformers.
Right.
So people like Greg Berger and them, those are people that you were fans of long before you were involved in the brand.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of impressive that you have the cojones to say, I mean, because that's their job, is to take direction.
Right.
But I think for a lot of people that would be kind of intimidating, like, well, I'm a fan of yours and now I'm having to tell you what to do. And that's pretty cool how you were able to jump in there and say, and work with them from professional to professional.
Well, thanks. Yeah, I mean, I got used to it after Animated, because that's just what we would do. You know, finding that character voice is one of the most fun aspects of, you know, and just adding, like, I think Greg was doing Cheetor's voice, and I asked him to just add a little surfer into it.
I was going to say, he directed Greg Berger. He was all like, make him more surfer for me. Make him more surfer for me. You're fired.
So, but then I think that, like, you know, even though the voice wasn't, it was Greg's voice, it added a youthful quality to it and made it kind of more Cheetor-y, I thought. Yeah. So.
Well, you helped me out a lot, too, because I was kind of stuck, because it's like, here's four characters who have no real... The only one I heard about as far as, like, what to do for it was Iron Fist, because everyone said, try to do Freddy from Scooby-Doo.
Right.
And I was like, well, that's kind of like peppy Frank Welker, and I'm not Frank Welker, so I'll just do peppy me.
Yeah, it worked out great.
But then for the Autotroopers, he walked up to me before I said any Autotrooper lines. I was like, do it like an Irish policeman.
Yeah, like the stereotypical Irish cop. Yeah. Anytime I can put that in a cartoon is awesome.
And so I did that, you know, in dedication to our friend from Wales. that's right. And then for Breakdown. I had no idea what to do.
Yeah.
And then you were like, do Bobcat Goldthwait. I was like,
right.
I can't do that. So you were like, you know, be scared all the time and have your voice crack.
Right.
Okay. So it was quite a lot of fun.
It was fun. It was cool. It really felt nostalgic. You know, Marty was there too, and like Marty actually did Sentinel Prime's voice.
He did such a good Sentinel Prime.
He was good.
Yeah. And he did such a good Sumdac in 08.
Yeah, I thought he did a good job. I actually ran into Marty when I was walking in the film festival. Marty came in the door and he was looking around all in every direction. I'm like, oh, hey, Marty. He's like, hey. And he kind of stares over me and he goes, I just got here. And I was like, all right, I'll let you be. Hold on, let me snag a picture real quick. Okay. Have a good day, Marty.
He was getting in trouble with his wife because I guess they were having company over and he was supposed to leave at a certain time to help set up tables and stuff for the company. And he was like, he got caught in that mess of people wanting autographs and stuff. So he was trying to get out of there. It was funny. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. And who else, we didn't talk about everybody in the panel.
Morgan Lofting?
Morgan Lofting, yeah. Who was the Baroness in G.I. Joe.
She was so I talked to her actually quite a bit after we were done. She was so friendly.
She is, she works at the library 3 blocks away from my house.
Really?
Like, literally 3 blocks away from my house at the Burbank Library. It's so cool. So, like, she's like, oh, stop by anytime. It's like, oh, I will. Yeah. I guess they're going to – and she said they're going to have a Baroness display there. Like, she from the Orlando G.I. Joe show.
Yeah, she mentioned that she was just at that show at a JoeCon where
– Yeah.
Because she was like, yeah, they just know me for the Baroness.
Pete was so excited when he found her. And, like, he's been talking about her nonstop since that show. I think he's a little bit in love. So –
Well, she was really, really sweet to talk
to.
She's
great, yeah.
She was just like, when we went back, she's like, yeah, I don't know. They all just know me for the Baron. I was like, ah, you're doing a good job with everything.
That Stryker voice was awesome, too, because it was like, that's what I had in mind, you know, when we asked Tara Strong. You know, we had a certain amount of voice actors. We can only have a certain amount in the booth at one time per show. And you know, obviously Tara's a girl, and she gets a lot of extra voices. But, like, that is the voice I had in mind in my head. I mean, Tara's was great, but, like, this one was... maybe even a little bit better.
Yeah, all the actors on that script reading, aside from myself, were like super pro solid. It was awesome.
Yeah, I agree. She did a really good Stryker. I was also, I know you mentioned it, but I was taking pictures. But Chris Lotta's daughter with Minerva.
Yeah.
Like, it kind of hit me for just a minute as far as like, wow, that's what Minerva sounds like.
Yeah.
But then because I haven't actually had time to read the comic yet, but the take on Minerva as like the young fangirl, totally. Where's Ratchet? Where's Ratchet?
Yeah.
Her voice played into that perfect. And I ended up liking the Minerva character even more after all that, I think.
There was a lot in her bio about, come on, guys, I'm trying to do a podcast here. I don't know.
What are you talking about?
There was a lot in her bio about, you know, I think her pod crashes in Quebec, right? And, so we had her do a little Canadian, put a little Canadian in it.
I was kind of laughing when you were like, make it more Canadian. And I was like, I wonder what that's going to mean.
it just kind of became a little Fargo-y, right? Like, it was a little a light Fargo. Who else? David Kay was there. He did Optimus. And
when he came in, because he came in last and you guys were figuring out the voices, we were trying to figure out, like, you guys were talking about what to do for Toxitron.
Yeah.
And the first line he said is Toxitron during the dry read had me double over laughing.
Yeah.
He delivered it in this, you know, talking through his upper lip.
Yeah, it was almost like a weird, like, not Arnold Schwarzenegger, but kind of a weird, like, bodybuilder,
I thought it had like a little tinge of Stallone.
Yeah, maybe that's what I was hearing. Is it was like, but it was like a really stupid Stallone, you know? Because I asked him, you know, do Bizarro, kind of a Bizarro-y voice for Toxitron, because that's what kind of character he is.
Rocky.
Yeah, so he was Bizarro Stallone. That was good.
I actually thought it was toned down almost a little bit when we actually did the reading with the crowd, because when we did the dry read, it sounded like a robot who had been punched in the brain. Yeah. He's it was awesome.
And then, well, he had how many roles did he have? He did Warpath, and he did
Warpath Prime, Toxitron, Dead End,
yeah.
Drop My Square.
Don't forget there goes the animated Grimlock.
Grimlock.
Tell us about that.
The rehearsal for that is the part I thought I'd tell, because that's the part nobody heard. But you had the two Grimlocks. You had G1 Grimlock and animated Grimlock. They were going to do, the anything you can do, I can do better. And so then they did the rehearsal of it. It was kind of funny because they were really just sort of figuring out how to do the thing. And then there was a bit of a printing error in the script. So one of Greg Berger's lines kind of just looked like it ended with David Kay. And then it was they got to the part where they're supposed to smash stuff, and we were all completely quiet, and someone's like, you guys are supposed to sound like you're going to smash.
Yeah, scream.
And then the last page, they just kind of went blah, 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 blah. Anyway, let's do this. I was like, all right.
But it worked out great.
It was fantastic.
Yeah, that was really fun. Awesome. I think people really enjoyed that. I had a good time. David also did Dead End, and at first I was like, maybe make him like Stephen Wright doing a really bad French accent. And it kind of I think he was putting too much emotion to it. I'm like, just Eeyore it up more and take all emotion out of the voice.
He sounded almost Corey Burton-ish when he was doing it.
He would lean in, he'd lean real close to the microphone, and we'd deliver these lines, these super deadpan lines, and then everybody would crack up.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
It was really cool because I remember the original thing he was doing was real. There was a whole lot more French, and then when he just went monotone, it was like all the French was gone, but everything was gone.
Yeah, I just told him to take everything out of it, so it's super dead endy.
Yeah, that was real cool. That was kind of the most interesting thing that happened to me for the whole day, because I didn't think it was going to happen to me until about an hour before the.
And it involved me too, so that is a Derek White story.
Derek White story. Well, that was something that happened to me that day. I was bumming around the dealer room a whole bunch, and I also actually got to agree that the prices are kind of high on some stuff. I was looking for Perfect Effect stuff, and Perfect Effect stuff right now is kind of $10 up from what I want to pay for it. So I'm going to wait till Sunday.
Nicole said she doesn't care. She'll just pay the price.
No.
You're going to buy anything, right?
She was making a face
I got a lithograph from Josh.
Did he sign it?
No, I'm going to have him sign it later.
He didn't sign it.
He had tons of people around him, so I'm like, well, I'll meet up with him later.
Did you see Josh's prints?
No, I haven't seen him yet.
Here's the one that I have on hand.
Oh, awesome. Rosanna.
Look for Alpha 5.
It's Alpha 5. Oh, I see. Yeah, yeah.
Ay, 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 ay.
That's cool.
And then there was silence.
That is really cool. I may have to pick that up myself.
He has a couple. This is the one I have, obviously. But
that's great.
He's got a couple others that are even better.
It's cool.
Yeah, I got the
Nicole got the G2 version of the Stunticons.
Which was it in a what was it in G2 or G1 style kind of?
No, with the animated.
Oh, really?
It was the animated style, just like.
But they were colored like.
It was the G2 coloring.
Man,
they have to
make a G2 animated breakdown at some point, right? It's got to happen.
That'd be awesome. Yeah, Josh Perez is very talented.
Yes, he is a talented man. What do you think, Seth?
Very talented.
Not only is he a talented man, but he's a fantastic individual who could apparently sleep on any surface anywhere.
Well, just describe his sleeping situation if you feel that's all right to do.
All he wants is a single pillow and this space under the table. And he's happy as a clam. This morning I'm like, don't you want to take this comforter? You could fold it over, make a little nest. He's like, no, I don't need it. I'm like, all right.
Seth, you also bought every third-party thing. Remember
yeah.
Third-party.
Well, remember when I asked if we were doing what we got this today and he said no?
Well, I didn't say no. I was delayed a little bit because I wanted to roll into my square thing.
So I bought a bunch of stuff in the dealer room. I went a little nuts. I found out that pretty much everything I bought, I could have gotten $10 to $20 cheaper at some other table. But I basically beelined to the TF Source table and just started grabbing everything.
And it's thankful because I found all those things for that $10 or $20 cheaper. Yeah.
So, the bag that I ended up carrying out of the dealer room had tons of stuff in it, and the only Hasbro thing was the Creo freebie. But I got a Munitioner, or not Munitioner, I got Warcry. I got
good man.
Flame Blast.
Gooder man.
As you see, I wanted Flame Blast over over Explorer because I like the Flame Blast colors more. I wanted Warcry over Munitioner because I like, or I wanted Munitioner over Warcry because I like those colors more. But I couldn't find anyone selling a Munitioner by himself. They all wanted to sell them in two packs.
I heard some pretty high prices on the two packs, like 134.
Yeah, like 130. One dude had, he wanted to sell the two plus that Bruticus box set for four bills.
That's not logical.
That was nuts. I was like, I'm like, are you doing Munitioner solo? And he's like, no, this is a set. I went, I'll see you later.
Nicole thinks that's fair.
Nicole, why do you think it's fair?
I don't think it's fair, no.
But you said you think it's fair.
No, I don't. I just dropped my jaw.
She's just like ready to pay any price for what she wants.
I'm made of money.
That's true. She will just bust out and break down doors and throw money in people's faces.
Still Fort Max.
I got it right here. $15,000.
Okay.
I'll get it for you next year. But.
So then I also got Perfect Effect, the ejector and rewinder.
I want those, but everyone is selling them higher than what I want to pay for them.
Well, didn't you get these cheaper, or was that somebody else? Oh, I didn't even see Sun and Night. Okay, so they're off mic. Gerardimus Prime said he got the Sun and the Night for 55. 59. Okay. Somebody got eject and rewind for a little bit less than I did, but I forget who. And then I also got that Optimus Prime and Soundwave Headmaster thing.
Nice.
They only had the black Soundwave, and I said, well, that's good enough.
That's Sound Blaster.
Sound Blaster.
Pardon?
And,
I said, that's Sound Blaster.
That's Sound Blaster, he says.
And then I also got the proper red Optimus. And then, like, I went looking around the dealer room for, like, an actual Headmaster, because I don't own any Headmasters. All ridiculous prices.
Yeah, that's from nuts. Last year.
But then someone was telling me that
Derek. It's just money.
Well, it's my classic thing for the last three or four BotCons. Whatever you think the price of a Headmaster should be, it's about $40 more than that.
Well, there were more than that. But then someone was telling me to go to the parts party because they saw some Headmasters that were more reasonably priced. So I've never been to the parts party. I might have to go now just to check
parts
it out.
Party virgin.
And then the last thing I got were the Cupheads. The replacement Cupheads. And these actually come in two shades.
Yeah, it's E-Hobby and the...
Yeah, the E-Hobby and then the Hasbro version. The E-Hobby version was $2 more. Well, this was $20 and the E-Hobby version was $22.
Why did they have to do that to you, Derek?
Well, talk to E-Hobby for using a different color plastic. Well,
I'd like to talk to them and romance them.
Send them your email address and say, hey, what's up? I'm Derek White.
So that's a
whole lot of that stuff I really want to pick up. I was hovering TF Sources table for ages today, and I was just like, I don't know what to do because I'm...
Go look at another table because you'll get it cheaper.
I'm thinking of holding off until Sunday to pick up anything. So I'm going to see how it all rolls. I did put in a pre-order on that at Robot Kingdom's table for that Scouting Force repaint. So I thought it looked
cool. Black one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really liked how it looked because Jared actually just came in and was agreeing with me, so I like him a whole lot right now. It looked really cool to me because I wasn't really... I was like, if it's just a black repaint, I'm not really that interested. But it was like a black repaint, but all the green parts were really bright on top of like a matte black. So it looked like they were glowing. Or what was there?
Well, they looked like they're actually metallic, too.
Like metallic?
No other metallics are different. It wasn't just like all purple and black. It was like silver and stuff.
It's that Perfect Effect reflector, a little one.
Oh,
sorry, you asked me a question. What was that question you asked? Earlier on, he asked, "What guy was this?" And that's what I replied to.
And I said, "Oh," that's and right. Then everyone laughed.
That table's also going to sell that. That what was it? That
20 pieces of
the BTS.
Soundwave. Sonic
Yeah. The BTS Soundwave, basically.
Oh, that's the micro cassette.
Yeah, they're going to have 20 of them at the show tomorrow, selling for $79 a piece.
Ooh.
Unfortunately, with BTS, I know they have solid construction, but it's their engineering that they're kind of weak on, from what I recall with the trailer. So it's like, I want to wait to see someone else's first. I think you should get one. Hey, Nicole, should you get one?
You should get two.
I'm not going to get two.
Nicole would pay for that. She doesn't care.
Just go ahead and go for the set of four.
A set of four of them?
Yeah, yeah. Since you've been off mic this whole time, nobody has no idea what you're saying. Getting a set of four.
I'm hoping
out of 20.
I'm saying with enough feeling that they can just feel what I'm saying across any distance.
I feel what you're saying.
Yeah, I know you do.
I feel what you're saying. I feel what you're all saying.
Yeah, but no. I'm definitely tempted to pick up one of those. Try to pick up one of those. There's 20 of them, so
it's going to be interesting because there's only 20, and they're going to put them out first thing tomorrow morning. But at the same time, it's a third party item that doesn't have quite as much hype as other third party items do. So it might not be that hard to get if you go there early. I'm kind of thinking it could go either way.
They're wedged sort of in a weird kind of corridor where I'm hoping that people just can't find them, because I know I had a lot of difficulty finding them at first.
Anyway. They also had one of the limbs from the Hercules.
They did. Yeah, they had I thought they had two different ones.
I kind of swished by there real fast.
There were two guys. I guess they were the same guy then in there. But they looked bigger than I thought.
Yeah.
You see the pictures online and you're never quite sure. I mean, you see comparison photos to various things, but when you actually see them in person, they definitely were bigger than I was expecting, so that was pretty cool.
I also bumped into a board member Option Zero working the TF Source booth, and he mentioned that there might be some interesting stuff on display later on during the convention from some third parties.
Cool. I saw some signs at the TF Source booth that they said something about, I don't remember, they had pictures, I know, of the iGear, Ratchet, and Ironhide, and they had something about, like, oh, look later for, samples of stuff. And yeah. I know they had the iGear Seekers, or was that TF Source, right?
Oh, yeah, they had the iGear Seekers, a whole bunch of them.
Yeah, lots of them.
I gotta admit, I was looking at them, and I was kind of like, I was still saying, like, I know why these excite people, but even seeing it in person, I was kind of like, I don't know. It's not my thing. It looks nice.
They don't look too bad.
I mean, it looks nice. It's just not really my thing.
Yeah.
It was cool, though, to see it in person and to see Faith Leader in person.
Faith Leader. Picked him up. He's he was nice looking. I like the shade of red plastic they used on him. It's kind of similar to the Knight Commanders. His red, that dark crimson red.
Yeah.
So I like that. Picked him up. His limbs kind of wobbled everywhere. And I was like, never mind.
But, all right. Well, we got to take off because it's casino night time.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes, as well.
Preparing for Vegas?
She got to pretty herself, even though she's adorable. She's going to pretty herself up. She's putting her princess dress on. Oh, my God. The tiara.
Pretty pop.
So many marriage proposals are coming tonight her way.
Oh, yeah. Not for me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Down on one knee.
Oh, yeah.
That was...
They're offering me jewelry, I'll take
it. What in the world?
You should have been Buttermaster. Oh, no.
Yeah, that's the Chicka Chicka song. I don't know why. We don't have to descend into that nonsense, isn't that? That's for other lesser podcasts.
Ooh. Oh, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow with some Saturday antics. And then we're gonna record before the Hall of Fame dinner, so...
Okay, I'm going to go take a pee. Bye.
Let's go follow with the microphone so we can listen to it.
It means, but you got some badass perpetrators that are here to stay.